Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. Could have been anywhere, but I'm glad you took the time out to be with us. I'd like to thank you. And same as before, if at any time you want to enter into the conversation or make a comment, press 1. Without any further ado, we're going to start off with the first topic. The first topic is, if two parents are in the midst of a custody battle and neither one wants to take responsibility for their previous actions in order to resolve the situation, do they have the interest of the child? Do they have the best interest of the child? Or are they just battling against each other? Let's do it again. If two parents are in the midst of a custody battle and neither one wants to take responsibility for their previous actions to resolve the situation, do they have the best interest of the child? Or are they just battling each other? Okay. As usual, let's examine it. Got two people, two individuals that more than likely at one time had love for each other. You know, or at least a strong like. Now, they're at odds over the child. And there's, you know, different reasons why they could be at odds over the child. It could be that one fell out of love or whatever, stopped, you know, found somebody else, and the other one wasn't ready to give up the relationship and hold resentment towards the individual and don't want to let the individual see their child. Another could be where it's mutual. You know, they both want to move on with their lives. However, it could be some issues where they disagree on parenting style. Now, when you disagree on parenting style, that becomes a major problem. It becomes a major problem because if you look at the dynamics of two parents and both have equal rights with the child, then both of them have the right to parent in the manner that they believe is best for your child. Unfortunately, sometimes, as we said earlier, one of the parents don't agree. And because of the disagreement, here we get a battle, a custody battle. You know, a custody battle for the child. However, whatever the reason is the custody battle healthy for the child? Because with that being said, that means one parent already has custody or control of the child. Now, the other parent is fighting to actually see the child or be a part of the child life, and the main one who suffers is the innocent one. The innocent one is the child. The child has nothing to do with grown-ups' situation. The child loves both parents equally, and the child wants to be with both parents, preferably together. However, if that's not the case, the child wants to at least see the parents be able to interact in a civil manner, where they're not screaming at each other, where they're not disrespecting each other verbally or physically. Yes, we have a call on the line. Yes, hello, caller.
Yes, sir, how you doing?
All right, yourself.
So I was wondering, yeah, are you going to talk about the midterm elections coming up? Or?
Excuse me?
Are you going to talk about the midterm elections?
Right now, we're in the midst of talking about the subject that's at hand. One of the other subjects that comes up, we can possibly slide that into the election and the midterm elections.
Okay.
But what do you think about what we were talking about? Custody battle. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a byproduct of what American culture has become today, which is the selfishness, in particular of women, but in society in general. Because in the past, women who were, even if they were in a bad situation with a husband, they would stick with the husband for the benefit of the children out of duty. Whereas today, people don't even think that way. All they think about today is what's happy for them, what makes them feel good. And they don't even take into consideration the impact that it's going to have on their children. So what you're describing is two selfish people who are more interested in their own personal happiness than in the long-term benefit of their children. And that sums up American culture today. That's why you see all the divorce and all these custody battles happening all the time.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. That's great insight. I totally agree, and that's why at the end of it says they battle in each other. They battle in each other when their differences need to be put aside for the sake of the child. And American culture, unfortunately, I mean, there's other individuals that seem to thrive a little better because when you destroy the family, as you said, men and women would stay together for the children, but sometimes even that became toxic. So now they, separate, but they don't parent together. And I think even if you can't be together, it's, as you said, beneficial to the child to be able to co-parent. And I think, with all the divorce rate and distractions, all the distractions in everyday life, I think that's a component that needs to be worked on, because in this culture, I dare to say that some of the violence that we see is a result of that, because children growing up in pain or growing up in situations where they're not getting the proper guidance, and then they're learning the guidance from outside sources. And with learning the guidance from the outside sources, it's leading them further into the abyss of, violence and all sorts of other things that are unhealthy for us as a human race. What do you say to that, Colin?
No, I definitely agree. And this ties in this is why I brought up the midterm elections as well, because it ties into politics, because politics has a huge influence on culture. And so from the black perspective, if you think about it, what political party has the most influence on black culture and black society, would you say?
Definitely Democrat.
Right.
Definitely
so
Democrat, without a doubt.
If you look at the if you look at the Democrat side and the liberal side, they're the ones that are aggressively pushing this new form of feminism, right? And the new form of feminism that they're pushing is to try to tell women that they don't need a man, that women can be independent of men, that you can operate without it, and that having a man is somehow a negative thing, having children is negative, or if you do have children, either you take care of them yourself or the state will have to take care of them, right? Now, we know, if you look at the statistics, that children that are raised in a single parent, especially if it's a single mother, are significantly more likely to go to jail, significantly more likely to drop out of school, significantly more likely to live in poverty than a child that's raised at home with both parents. That's just a statistical fact. If anyone wants to debate that, look it up for yourself, and you can see for yourself the facts behind that.
No, I absolutely understand and hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, so, and the reason I bring that up is, if you know the Democrats' platform, which is they like the concept of people being dependent on them, because that's what they're pushing. They're pushing large government, government control, and the type of people that like a large government that has a lot of control are the kind of people that want to be dependent on the government. And what are the type of people that do depend on the government? People that are demoralized, people that are in poverty, people that are involved in crime and drugs, people who are in a situation where they don't even think there's a pathway to becoming financially independent. So they feel like the only hope they have is the government to take care of them. So if you're that political party, you have an incentive to try to create a society of people that are dependent on you. And what's the number one way to destroy a group of people? Break down the family, especially the man. Because if the man is in the house, there's a much higher percentage chance that the children will be successful and be financially stable, and then their children will be, and then all of a sudden they won't feel that need to be dependent on the government, which would then in the long term hinder their political power. So you see the game that's being played? And this ties into education as well. This is why the Democrats, when they control education, they got rid of all the vocational training. They got rid of all that skill training in high school. They don't even think about teaching financial literacy at all. They literally are trying to teach stuff that would just make a child a political activist, but not give them the skills to succeed in life. Because they don't want them to succeed in life. Because if they do, they're less likely to vote Democrat. You understand what I'm saying? And so the black culture has literally become the guinea pigs of the Democratic Party. And like the black community is literally a social experiment of the government coming in and replacing the father in the household.
We're calling Assurance Wire.
And what a society will turn into when you take the father out and replace the father with the government. And like you said, we're seeing it today. All these young kids that didn't have a father in their home, they're the ones out here in Philadelphia, in Baltimore, in Chicago, in New York, shooting each other, drug dealing, gang banging. That's the direct effect of that. Now, if these kids have their father in their homes, the chances that they'd be out there doing that would be significantly less. Because if you had a man in your home who would correct you, who would discipline you, who would give you guidance, who would show you a different path in life you can take, that doesn't require you to have to go into crime and, you know, killing and murdering and drug dealing, our whole outlook as a community would be completely different. But because our people have submitted to that ideology and accepted that ideology, look what they've done to us. Look what they've done to us with abortion, which they targeted against us. Since this Roe v. Wade was passed, 19 million black children have been aborted. Let me say that again for everyone listening. Since Roe v. Wade was passed, 19 million black babies have been aborted. Now, if you know anything, if you know about political power in America is all about numbers, how many people you got.
Absolutely.
That's why the Hispanics are gaining so much political power now, because their population is growing rapidly and because they're more 50-50. So now the Democrats and Republicans are fighting to get their vote. All of a sudden, their issues become more important. But our community, we've stagnated at about 10 to 13% of the population for the longest. And why is that? Because our community accepted abortion. was lied to about it and have embraced it and allowed it to control and keep our population down. I'll give you an, this is my last point, and you can follow up. In 2015, in New York City, this is something important people need to understand. In New York City in 2015, and these numbers still are true now, more black babies were aborted than were born. If that doesn't tell you that they have achieved their goal of controlling the black population, nothing else will. And with it, go ahead, brother. You can respond. I apologize for going on.
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, that's what this forum is about, being able to share information, enlighten each other. I mean, I agree with everything you said, pretty much, you know what I mean? And that just the fact of you saying that we've been at 13% of the population for who knows how long, that says it all, you know? That says it all, along with, you know, the incarceration and all of the other things that's added on. I definitely believe that we need to reevaluate our loyalty to a particular party. Especially at this point, most of the inner cities, well, the inner city that I came from, I know was basically ran by Democrats. And the result was, you know, catastrophic, if I dare to say, because of the environment and the lack of certain things that we need as a community. And we continue to vote Democrat and not even try Republican. I mean, you can try it, give it a shot. I mean, I'm no Donald Trump fan, but if we were able to vote for the other president when he said, if you ain't black, you know, if you're not black, if you don't vote for him, Biden could say that, and Trump could say, well, vote for me. You got nothing to lose. I mean, you got nothing to lose, you know, because we are on the losing side of most battles. It definitely, you know, ties in, hopefully, the midterm election, where everyone will see that, you know, the way America is right now. I mean, with, you know, the high interest rates, the food, the gas, you know, everything is sky high. So basically, you know, it tied in. Yes, caller. Hello. Hello.
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
How you doing, brother? My name is Leon. I came in kind of late, but I was listening to the brother's statistic and everything that he was saying. And I have my own podcast on Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself.
Okay.
I come on every Monday at 7 p.m. But I agree with everything that he said. I just want to, because I've been coaching kids down here in Atlantic City area, in Atlantic County area, for over 36 years.
All
so
right.
I didn't see it all, working in the school system, coaching basketball from fifth grade all the way up to college down here. So I didn't see it all. I didn't hear it all. I didn't see all the parents. I've seen all the dysfunction. So everything that he said, what he talked about is right. But this is what I would add to what he said. And what I would add to what he said is that it didn't start there. It started way back with our history. And I'm not talking about our history. I'm talking about his story. That's where it started. That's where it started with breaking the families up right there. It didn't start now. It started with them, the Europeans, raping our women in front of the men. So when the women had their babies, which their race was always in jeopardy, still is now, then the women would raise their children not to trust the man because the man couldn't protect them. This is where it started from. Now, like I said, everything else that he said, I would add that on after that. But where this started breaking down the homes, breaking down the trust between the melanated families, how they took the man out of the homes, how they broke him up.
Could I respond real quick to the point that you just brought up?
But let me before. Go ahead and respond. But I want to go back to the original topic with the brother because I want to hear his view on the original topic. But go ahead and make your response.
Okay. This is important what he brought up. We talk about history. So a lot of brothers that I noticed that make a mistake about this point is that black culture post slavery was one thing. We're not talking about prior to when slavery happened and prior to it. I'm talking about black culture from the late 1800s until about the 1950s. I want everyone to understand this. During that time period, the black community did not have a high crime rate. The black community did not have a high level of divorce. The black community did not have a high level of single motherhood. None of that was happening. The single motherhood rate was higher in the white community during that time period than in the black community. And why was that? You can talk to any old head. Talk to somebody who's 70 years or older. Ask them what the black community used to be like prior to the 1950s. Ask them. It was a conservative Christian community where the women were expected to live not like hoes like today, but to actually keep themselves. If a woman got pregnant, the man was expected to marry her immediately. That was the expectation in the community. The idea that a man could walk around and not take care of his children and still walk around with his head up was unthinkable back then. Never happened. And that was the time when there was more oppression, more difficulty, life was harder. But the community had a basic moral and ethical foundation that everybody lived by. That does not exist anymore. What you got today is post-feminism and post-modernism gone crazy, where women don't act right anymore. Women refused to submit to a man. That was not the case during the 1800s and 1900s. Women did not act like that, especially not black women. This is something that started up around the 60s, and we're seeing it being brought to fruit today. This is not normal in any culture, in any part of the world, for women to act the way they do here. It's not normal. What men have been taught, and I don't know where this idea came from, that slavery is the reason why women don't trust us, that's not why. It's because feminism poisoned their mind. Before the 1950s, black women in America, the idea of her divorcing her husband was unthinkable, never. The idea of a woman having a child out of wedlock and staying like that, never. That would have never happened. Why? Because our community had a basic moral tenet that we live by. Now what happened is Christianity went away and liberal feminism came in, and it started to tell women, you don't need a man. You can be an independent woman. You don't need that man. You don't need a father. Oh, if you have children, oh, don't worry. The state will come in and I'll take care of them. That's what came in. That's what destroyed our community, and they knew what they were doing. That was calculated. That's what feminism has done to America as well. That's why America in general is the most broken down society you've ever seen, where homosexuals are running around with all this power. Women are ruling, and men are in the back. No functioning society in the history of mankind has ever allowed their women to take this kind of power. Never. And a state in power, never going to happen. We're witnessing the collapse of American And
okay,
if our people don't grasp this and understand that basic part of history, you'll continue to believe this lie that it was because of racism and slavery that our women are acting crazy. Nah, bro. It's because of the feminist lies that came in and into their brains like a cancer. And as long as women think that they don't have to submit to a man, that they can be out here giving, having sex with everybody and having all these kids and not have to be worried about having a home and getting married, we're going to continue to have these same problems. Our children, you got all these young black kids out here gangbanging, drug dealing, taking these girls and putting them in prostitution, and we're going to be in the same place we are now, if not worse, 50 years from now.
All right, caller. Thanks. Thanks for your comments. I want to speak to the caller that just was speaking previously that you were responding to. I want to hear his input on the original topic of if two parents are in the midst of a custody battle and neither one wants to take responsibility for their previous actions and in order to resolve the situation, do you think they had a child's best interest, or do you think they're just battling against each other? What do you have to say about that, my brother? Yeah.
Listen.
Hello? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Luke.
Okay, listen. I want to stick to that, but the first thing I want to say when the brother started talking again, I was never talking about history, and I said that. I said his story. So listen, and what you just said and what you just said, the topic, let me explain to you. I was in that situation. And what I found out about being in that situation is that I don't know if anybody on the line knows that when you have a child, no one has custody of that child until you go to court to establish that. I found that out the hard way. I fought for my daughter. I went to court and fought for my daughter. And you don't have men, you know, the judge never seen a man coming to fight for his daughter. Anytime we stand in front of the judge, it's always to pay child support. But I went to fight for mine, and the system is geared towards the women. Because it's hard to prove a woman unfit. But I did that because I knew my daughter's mother was on drugs, so I asked them to drug test both of us right then and there.
Right, bro. Okay.
And that's how I stepped that. But I got temporary custody, but still they would not give me joint custody because they said there was no such thing. And so when I proved to them that it was, by using their own law library, then they wanted me to have, they wanted me to end up having visitation right with somebody else sitting in the room with me. I said, no, I'm not doing that because I've done nothing wrong.
Supervision, okay.
Right, they wanted me to have supervision. So I said, I've done nothing wrong to have supervision. I'm the one who brought her here. She didn't bring me here. And so I just wanted everybody to know no one has custody of a child. When you have it, you have to go to court to establish that. And if both parents don't want to own up to taking care of that, our kids is starting off not even having a chance. You know, all males, all humans that's a male ain't a man. So he certainly can't be a king. You know, we have to step up to the plate, and we do have to take care of our children.
Absolutely, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Now, the thing is, you were saying that no one actually legally had custody. However, most times the man has to fight for custody because the women predominantly have the child with them.
Well, that's the reason why is because the law says 9/10. It's the person who has the kid the most. So 9/10 is the possession of the law.
9/10 of the law is, possession.
You still go to court to prove that that person is unfit. You just got to have, when you go in, you can't be throwing a softball underhand. You got to be throwing a hardball overhand.
Okay.
And that's how I got my daughter at 5, 6 years old.
Okay. All right, we're gonna take a short break. Then we're gonna come back with the next topic. It's been a pleasure speaking to both of you brothers. Hope you brothers hold on. hold on the line till we come back, because this other topic I think we can really get into, because based on where your brother's mindset's at, I think you both have a lot to add to this topic. All right, so we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Welcome back, everybody. And I'd like to thank everybody who's listening. And I'll say again, anybody want to chime in and add to the conversation, all you have to do is press 1. With that being said, we're going to go to our next topic, and that is, what can we do or change as a people that would be as effective as anti-Semitism is for the Jews, that would bring about a respect for us as a people and acknowledging it as a nationality and give us control of our community? Let me say that again. What can we do or change as a people that will be as effective as anti-Semitism is for the Jewish population, that would be, that would bring about for us as a people acknowledgement as a nationality and give us control over our communities? All right. So we were talking about family structure, and basically we see from the Jewish community that family structure for them hasn't fell apart like it has for us. And we have to ask ourselves why, to some degree. Why did, you know, we
shout out, Young Swiss.
We express some of the reasons previously why we are in the predicament now, where we have the family structure being torn apart. We express that. However, now with this, yes, caller.
Yeah, if this is me, if you can hear me, I'm going to take a crack at that question. That's a great question that you ask. You're asking,
okay,
what is the, I'm going to say, melanated or so-called black community.
Right,
by the way, you
right.
know Elon Musk is an African-American, right?
Oh, yeah?
Right.
Okay.
In other words, you can check that out. He's from Africa. Now he's an American citizen.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Finish up. Okay.
Answer your question. First of all, there may be nothing, and it may not even be reasonable to ask that question. But maybe a more reasonable question to ask is, what can one do as an individual and as a group should that individual decide to aggregate with others? Do to empower themselves. Now, that's not hard to answer, excuse me, that particular question. Number one, Claude Anderson's book talks about this in detail. He has, he has a number of books, but he has what's called Black Labor, White Wealth. That's one book. And he has another one, which I think is even better, called Powernomics. And so the first thing a person should do, in my humble opinion, is to empower themselves. Now, I came on a show the other day and I talked about, I said something about money. I said, work a minimum of 60 hours a week and if possible, 70 to 80 hours a week. That will empower one. You can't do a damn thing without adequate resources. And money is just stored labor, by the way. That's what money is, stored labor. That's what money represents. And so, you know, in this country, you got to realize there are a lot of people trying to break into this country and dying to get into this country so they can see the value. And so the question would be, why can't people who live here speak the language to a certain degree? Why can't they see the value? So the thing is, number one, is to empower oneself. Stay away from drugs. Stay out of trouble with the police. Go at least to a community college, get a trade, designate yourself, force yourself, if one needs to get a good work ethic, and then work your ass off and build something, wealth, and then, of course, connect with people who are like-minded. That's the only way to do it. You talked about the Jewish community. And there are
right.
different segments of that. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, the question basically is the unity. If anyone says something that appears to be derogatory to the Jewish community, they're normally held to a standard where they have to apologize. If someone says something against us, you know, sometimes this is addressed, but and to take it a step further, hardly any other ethnic group come to our rescue when something is, you know, said to about us that's derogatory. We've been,
yeah,
you know,
maybe
we've
they
been,
shouldn't.
And why
maybe
is
they
that?
Shouldn't do that, and maybe it's not even deserved. See, you've got to think about that too. But what you might want to do is isolate the individuals and look, see They say a chain is no stronger than what? Its weakest link. So if you
right.
have all these damn weak links, worthless links, then, of course, you're not going to get any respect. That's why I said
okay.
first, one has to communicate with themselves, I believe, and get themselves
right.
together and stop seeing themselves as a victim sitting around waiting on. So, there's no savior coming. You are it. You are your savior. And if you don't see yourself that way, then you're lost, period. Now, that doesn't mean that other people won't help you, but no one wants to help someone who just wants to lie around on the ground or be shiftless or not do a damn thing. You follow me?
Right. Now, what you're saying, that, are you saying us as a people represent being shiftless or and lying down? Or are you saying
I'm saying certain people are, and particularly
right, right.
those who constantly see themselves as victims. Remember, in order to see oneself as a victim, one has to give all their power to the victimizer, whoever that may be, fictional
right.
or not. They have to give
right.
up all their power. And guess what? Now they don't have to do a damn thing. They're not responsible for anything now. Why? Because someone else is doing something to me. It's not me. It's someone else doing this to me. So that particular
okay.
attitude.
Okay.
That
now,
particular
now,
attitude.
I hear where you're coming from with that ideology and that and in some cases you're absolutely right. However, there are other cases such as okay, wanting to get critical thinking into schools, which means we want to have our story being told from an angle where other people may feel uncomfortable, and that's being fought against. For example, let's take Emmett Till. Put the story of Emmett Till in there and how it all went about, and as well as Black Wall Street. Put that in schools. They are fighting against that type of information being provided in schools. So who do we say is responsible for that? That's where I say with the Jewish population, they have a tendency to unify and as well as, like you said, their financial structure. Their financial structure is sound. So that's what I'm saying when I say we need to get that sound financial structure. I totally agree. We need unity. We need to be able to stand up for each other, not pull away. I mean, some people, everybody, there's no culture that don't have a weak link. However, the strong links come up in front, so you don't really see the weak link. And the stronger the individuals as a whole, the people are as a whole, and as individuals, which I do agree with you saying, people as individuals need to be strong, definitely. And I definitely agree with not looking at ourselves as a victim. And part of the reason we look at ourselves as victim is because of how we've been educated, many of us. Or they
all
are
right,
saying,
let me say this, if I may, I interrupt you for a moment.
Miseducated. Go ahead.
See, I think what you do is you use this word we. You need to be very careful with that word, okay? You need to talk about yourself or the people that you know are in league with what you're saying. And see, what you're saying, now, first of all, I know a good bit about the Jewish community being of that particular ilk myself. And so what you have to do is look at the individuals. The individuals are strong, oftentimes. You have to have a mass of
strength. I stated that I agree with you that individuals have to be strong, individuals. I definitely agree with you that individually have to be strong. However, when like I said, the Jewish community, they are community, and you can't have a community without unity. That's the thing. That's the part
you can't have unity without the people who make up that unity agreeing to be unified.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Definitely
well, if you go to Chicago, for example, let's see, what is today? Today is Wednesday, right? All right.
But
if you go Thursday night as Friday morning and you do a countdown between Friday morning and the end of Sunday and see how many people of quote-unquote the same, if you want to talk about them, and I would prefer to say them, the people who, what do they say, all skin folk ain't kin folk. But you take the people, skin folk, or however they want to define themselves, and notice how they point loaded guns at each other and pull the trigger, even at children. Those are animals. I don't give a damn how you, and there are other places, but I'm just using Chicago as an example.
Okay, so.
And so
right,
you have to look.
So let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you right there. What
sure.
do you say about the individuals who runs up in the schools and murder multiple people, or run up in the supermarket in a church and murder multiple people? What do you call that?
Well, obviously that's horrible, and that's a monstrosity. That's a monster that does that. No one, I don't think, in their right mind would say otherwise. But we have to look at what is common amongst a particular group and what is horrible that is committed by people, but it's an aberration. It doesn't happen all the time. It shouldn't happen any of the time. So you have to look at frequency. You have to look at frequency of horrible behavior.
Okay, exactly. Now, going back to what I was saying about not allowing critical thinking, you know, into the schools, which in itself, when you go to school, you learn about other people. And I say people, you like you say, it, because they don't look like you, they're not your kin, the same skin, you ain't kin. However, you're looking at people who don't share your same skin. And
wait a minute,
that's
not exactly what I said. Let me just clarify. I said the people who may call themselves black, they don't give a crap about each other. That's what I'm saying.
They kill each other at a higher rate than any other group. And this is, right, and this is, see, a lot of times we see a result, you know?
Right.
We see a reaction from a past action. So this is the thing, because if somebody slapped you, if somebody slapped me and you didn't see them slap me, you just seen me slap them, then you're going to say, I'm the aggressor. However.
Yeah, but sir, let me say this.
Listen to me. Let me clarify.
All right,
what I'm
go
saying.
Ahead. But you're going to
what,
talk
what
about I, being a victim. You're going
no,
to
no,
victim
it's
root.
Not, it's not. It's not. It's not a point of being a victim. It's a point of factual evidence that is being presented, and it's a thing. It's a such thing as being properly educated, and it's a such thing as being miseducated. And a lot of those young. The reason I say I could have just as easy have been one of those individuals had it not been for certain upbringing that was available at that time, other things that came into my life that opened my eyes to a different form of in a way of living. That's what saved me from being one of those individuals. And that thing, you know, it was like religion is important for most people.
Right.
When I was introduced to something that held me on a higher level, it made me want to perform on a higher level. When I was in school,
and you're saying that was religion?
It was a type of religion. It was a 5%.
Now, what if people don't want that? What if the individual? What if you or other people don't want?
A caller. Yes, anyone?
Yep.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, Jason, I ask you, what if you or other people don't want that, what you took and changed your life? What if they don't want that?
I mean, the thing is, if people don't want it, at least they had the opportunity to be introduced to it. That's the difference. If you got dirty water all the time and nobody never give you a clean water, you don't know that you're drinking dirty water. You know what I'm saying?
People should have a right to push back if they don't like something that's being taught. And what the person that do that wants to promote that, they either have to overcome that particular opposition with power, or they have to develop their own, which a lot of people do. Homeschool, they have private schools and what have you. But people inherently struggle with each other. If not outright, they do it in a stealthy, furtive way. But there's always going to be people that are going to oppose whatever people want to do. And
absolutely.
Those people
let me interrupt you because there was another call on the line. I want to see if they want to add something to the conversation. Hello?
Sure.
Hello, caller?
Yeah, no. Hello? Yeah, I can go after the brother's done. I didn't want to interrupt him.
Oh, you want to let him finish what he's saying? Okay. All right, go ahead, finish up, Solution.
No, what I'm saying to you, yeah, thank you, Jason, and thank the other gentleman. But look here, what I would say, look, that's what I do. I give solutions, and I've given you some powerful solutions. Now, you've kind of, you know, like a good end, you've sort of sidestepped a lot of what I've said, but you're going to run head on into the problem. And you may have this savior complex. You want to save people, and that's fine. That can be altruistic or philanthropic or however you want to describe it. But
okay,
the bottom
let me interrupt you right there. I want to enlighten people. It's not a point of save people because people have to save themselves, as you said. And I've agreed with you on several topics, as you said, too, that there's going to be opposition between people. Certain things I agree with you on, certain things I don't agree with you on. That's just my point of view versus your point of view. When you say having finances and not seeing yourself as a victim, I absolutely agree with you. I agree not wanting to be a victim. However, I don't want to push aside some of the things that I know that are a reality in order to, you know, say, I don't want to be a victim. You still have to know that there's certain things that cause and effect. Certain things cause and effect, you know?
If we
spoke about your upbringing and how and what you were introduced to and what you weren't introduced to, it would explain who you are as a person. Same with me.
I'll just wrap it up with this, Jason. First of all, understand this. The world doesn't owe you or me a damn thing, right? Doesn't owe us anything. If we get anything, it's grace. Now, I've given you the answer. A gift. Grace.
The answer is work hard for what
you want. I've said a book to you. I've given you a good book to read, Powernomics, which connects power and economics, which is the ability to overcome obstacles, right? And I've said to you the attitude that one should take and exactly what one should do. Stay off drugs, stay away from knuckleheads who do drugs and get in trouble, and that's a strong draw to a lot of people. They can't resist that. And so they'll go down the quicksand route with the dummy that will get involved in those things. So I've given you the formula for success. I've given you the formula I've followed, and I'm very successful. I've given you the formula.
Right. Now I'm in success. I'm successful if you want to look at it in monetary gain. I'm successful. However, that's part of the problem because some people define success as monetary gain, and their character is totally bankrupt. That's what Martin Luther King spoke about. The bankrupt.
Okay,
Congress.
But wait a minute, Jason.
The wait a minute.
But without money,
I'm Shadi. That's who I am.
Oh, Shadi, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Without money, there is no success. You take away a person's finances, that supplies their health, their food, their housing. Everything that makes you a civilized being is related to money. Sorry, but that's just the fact. Now, if you talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where one gets to self-actualization once the basics have been addressed. That's
secure,
fine. I'm with you 100%.
Secure.
But you've
absolutely.
Got to have that foundation to get to the apex of the pyramid. Capisce?
Right. And that's why I was saying to you, you saying you gave me the answer, already have the answer. I'm striving to give other people the answer and help other people who, like yourself, who take a position based on, you know, okay, people are killing. You just say they're killing. You saying they're animals. You saying they're monsters. I mean, those people are somebody's children who someone loves. They weren't born a monster. Obviously, some things happened in their lives. This is why it's important for mental health and, like you said, counseling. You big on counseling. Some of those people need counseling. You imagine being in a neighborhood where someone get murdered right next to you, and you get no counseling for it. You go home and you seen this, you're traumatized, and then you come out the next day, you see it again. So what happens to these individuals? You're just looking at the result. You're not looking at the damage that's being done that's causing this result to keep continuing. This is the answers that I'm seeking for, and these are the solutions that I'm striving to bring into play so that we can heal this. We just can't say, oh, they monsters and turn away. Because
I'm going to give you a hard piece of reality right now. Not that I haven't, but I am. Number one, if the people that it's happening to don't care enough to change it, then there's not very much help coming from the outside. It's going
okay.
to have to start
within us. That's what I'm saying. That's why
within those people, within those people. You've heard the old bromide, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear, right? Have you ever heard that?
I hear it now.
Okay, so that's a truism. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, actually, the teacher is always there. The student just isn't ready.
Right. Now, for what you said before, what if those parents, the mothers, I've witnessed mothers in a group who care about their sons getting murdered, go around to different neighborhoods pleading with individuals. So it's not that people don't care, because the mothers of the individuals who got murdered care. So
let me ask you something.
And they're banding together. It's a name of some mothers that I can't think of it, but they say, we are a group that we don't want you to have to join. That's their opening statement every time they come out. We are a group that we don't want you to have to join. That's it. Go ahead.
I didn't hear that last part. Would you repeat it?
It says, we are a group that we don't want you to join. That's what they say. That's their starting line. We are a group that we don't want you to join. So meaning they don't want you to be a part of this group. They don't want you to have to be one of the mothers whose child was murdered in the street.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
That's what they mean by that. So there are people who are striving to rectify that situation are the ones that you call them monsters. And if one of them, you know, I mean, they, of course, even, and they are going to the individuals, and as you said, Yeah, they have to be ready. They have to be receptive. But if we write them off as monsters, what's then? Of course, they're going to continue to be monsters. You know.
All right, I have somewhat of an answer for you. Number one, these women need. Okay, if it's, I understand what you just said. Number one, and these are sort of hard truths, but look, I look at what works. So what they're going to have to do is either stop having those kids or get the hell out of the war zone. That's it. That they're going to have to, it takes a lot of effort to raise a child, okay? The Department of Agriculture estimates to raise a child from 0 to 18, it takes about $250,000. You can look that up. All right. Now the thing is that the people who do not want that to happen to their kids, they see that it's happening. Stop having kids in that area, or get the hell out of that area. What do you think about that?
I think it's spreading in more areas than not. You know, I think it, I think it's
wait a minute. Okay, say it again.
It's spreading. It's not you mentioned Chicago. There's Patterson. There's Raleigh, North Carolina. There's South Carolina. It's happening more. So eventually, where are you going to move? Where are you going
to
move to?
Well, let me say
because
this
it's
to
happening,
you.
It's happening all over.
What's your name
it's
again?
Just,
I just want to call your name.
Sade,
when I say it.
Sade.
Hey, okay, that's a very nice name, Sade. Sade, this is what I would say to you. I have lived in communities where the most activity was tree trimming. What do you think about that?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised from your view. You know what
I'm
saying?
No, no,
no.
But
surprised.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. What I'm giving you.
There are areas where there are safe areas. However,
you're damn right.
I'm
there
saying,
are a lot of safe areas.
Go ahead. What I'm saying to you is, it's not just isolated. You mentioned Chicago, but it's not just isolated to Chicago. That's what I'm saying.
But don't
you
think I understand that?
Right.
Sade, Sade, don't you think I understand that?
I
understand that very well.
I think you understand.
That's why I'm contrasting that area. And see, what you're doing is you're retaining the problem. You're saying, oh, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but what about this? What about this?
Okay,
but you're
because,
not saying,
because,
what about
you
the
know
solution?
Why? Because
I just
but,
did,
listen,
I was
you're telling me, listen, you're telling me a solution that
right.
most people may not be able to meet. They may
but
not
how
be
do you
able
know?
To meet that solution.
How do you know
I
they
mean,
won't meet it? How do you know that? How do you know what you just said is true?
Because I've been around people who had two jobs and still
mm-hmm.
had problems paying their rent. Still had problems paying
their
rent.
Well, that's right. Me too.
Same
and
bills.
Guess what I did? I got a third job.
Okay. How are you going to raise your children?
Well,
and that's
number
part
one,
of the reason,
it's best to be prepared before one has kids.
Right. However, once they're here, this is what I'm saying. You heard the first topic when I was talking about the first topic, where is co-parenting in the midst of, you know, people co-parent, they can't co-parent. So they're having a custody battle. So now
right.
if you got an individual working three jobs, a single parent working three jobs, when does she have the time to take care of a child?
Okay, now I can answer
these...
that, but I'm going to graciously back out and let that other gentleman who's also gracious come in. Apparently he has something to share. So I'm going to let him engage with you. Okay? I'm just going to go on mute and listen.
All right. And I appreciate
you. Thank
you.
Very good back and forth conversation, though.
Yes. Hello? Caller? Okay, with that being said, anyone, we're past our time right now anyway, so I would like to thank everybody for listening, and look forward to a continuation next week. And I pray for all of you who have a religious belief. I pray that Allah guides you into a straight path and guide us to see clearly, unify.
Hey, Sade, I have a quick comment, if no one else is speaking.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, thank you. What I would say is get Claude Anderson's book, both of them. There are a bunch of other books I could load you up with books.
Okay.
That
all right,
speak to success.
I'm taking that Claude Anderson. All right, I'm
Yeah, get his book, Powernomics. I would certainly start with that one, although you could start with Black Wealth, White Labor. And also Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. That's considered the granddaddy of all the self-help books. And there's The Millionaire Next Door. There's Robert Kiyosaki has a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's one called The Richest Man in Babylon. And Dave Ramsey has a new book called, it's something like Baby Steps. Rick Edelman has a book called The Squirrel Manifesto. That's for young kids to teach them. See, young kids need to be taught how to get wealthy early. And by the way, Gerber, you can go online and find this out. Gerber has an insurance plan, a retirement plan for infants, babies that are less than a year old. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
that's Gerber.
Now, I definitely agree that the younger children get involved in financial literacy, The better off they will be when it comes to handling finance when they get to the end.
Right. That's called The Squirrel Manifesto by Rick Edelman. And also Robert Kiyosaki has a game that's better than Monopoly. It's kind of expensive, so you may want to get it on eBay. And that's good to teach kids how to be wealthy. You have to be taught a work ethic early, generally, in order for it to stick. So there are a plethora of resources that can bring you up to speed. And see, what I do is I recommend a book to a person, and if a person is too lazy to read a book, they don't give a damn about enhancing their status.
Okay.
Right? That's my cue that they really don't care about enhancing themselves.
Now, like I said, I agree with you that reading certain books and getting financial literate will that can help that situation, what we were talking about, becoming financial literate and understanding.
Right, can help every situation.
Because poverty.
Sade, I just want to clarify this. Can help every situation. You need to get into the practice of saying that, because there was a lady on another show, and I said this, and she says, "Well, money doesn't answer everything. Money is not everything." I think that was her quote, close quote. But everything she went on to speak about, that wherein she thought that money wasn't everything, money was the major component. Because you can't have food without money unless you grow it yourself. And even then you need money to till the soil. See, you're not going to get around money, unfortunately.
No.
I wish it went that way.
The other thing she
said, your health. You're going to have to pay for health care. All right? What about a place to stay? What are you going to pay your damn landlord? I shouldn't say damn landlord. But what are you going to pay your landlord? That is stupidity on steroids to not understand the priorities of reality. That's ridiculous. Education costs a lot. Think of all the people that have student loan debt. sure enough, they financed their lifestyles and they overdid it. But one has to have money to transact in a modern society. You've got to have money. What do you do if you don't have money? You're homeless. You're on the street. That's ridiculous. Go ahead.
With that, we got to close. We already passed our time, Solution. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
You
well, good conversation. I'll catch you next time. Have a good evening. God bless.
Okay. God bless.
All right, Beth. Yeah. Walk with me. Walk with me.
Come take a walk with me, grab my hand. Let me school you, little bro, make you understand. You gotta run the streets to become a man. Just stay in your own lane, you could buy some land. I see the fire in your eyes. Don't fall into the trap. In the trap, you can die. So many soldiers stand down in the sky. Pay attention to the vibe. That's what's keeping you alive. Have patience, just talk to me. Get out of line. You get